Good day, listeners and viewers. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. We're so glad to have you with us. My name is Jonathan.
Hey.
And I have the great Dr. Marriage here, Stephen Cervantes. So how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
At some point, we'll roll out all of that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's good.
We're just giving a teaser to Dr. Marriage. Stephen, I have a feeling, listeners, Stephen sometimes every now and then will come in and just sort of spring something on me.
Yes.
That I know is going to be that's going to require a little more work than usual, and so he has. I have to just show this to you for those of you who are watching. There's a page here that all it says on it is 50 things to do when your core fear gets triggered, and then there's just blank page
numbers 1, 2, 3, 4. And he has to come up with 25. I have to come up with 25, and he doesn't even know what he has to come up with.
I know. So I almost feel like I want to just give a little bit of a disclaimer
there
before this episode gets started.
We still love you.
This is the program that I maybe don't say go rate and review the program.
No,
<Is that>?
Absolutely. Go rate 5 stars all the way. Go team.
All right. So I'm.
If we stumble and we drop the ball, go team. You're still with us and we're with you.
So we obviously are going to be talking about core fear.
Core fear.
And I'm going to take a few deep breaths and then see where you want to take me.
I said, I'll go first. I'll lead. And you have a great brain and lots of experience. And your ideas will just pop. I know it. So I operate on the premise that we all have a core fear. And it is, I'm not worthy. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to make a mistake. I'm going to fail. And you won't like me. And that is our core fear, that you will reject me. If you think about it, growing up, it happened a lot. We experienced a lot of rejection. People laugh at us. That's dumb. You think that? That's how you act? What's wrong with you? We got a lot of rejection in us, and we hate it. But we're going to be triggered periodically in our core fear. So I decided that Jonathan and I should come up with 50 things to do when your core fear fires. And a lot of them are just thoughts or momentary insight or a place to hold yourself or something. And I'll have to be honest, a little transparent, and tell you why this came up. My brother and I have been walking 5 miles a day for a few days.
Wow.
You know, and you see a lot of people walking. And almost 99% of the people say hi. We say hi. You know, they're walking a dog or they're on a bike or, you know, whatever. Hi. And so I just was going on along saying, hi, how are you? This lady had a dog. I said, oh, your dog's cute. And she just completely ignored me. Like I wasn't even a human being. I wasn't talking or anything, you know. And my brother said, she was distracted. But for a half second, I thought, did I do something wrong? What? Did she not like my statement or my tone or what, you know? And it was just a simple thing. We get triggered in big ways a lot. That's just a very simple thing. But God brought it up. And I got to thinking again, when someone rejects you, when someone doesn't like you, when they say, that's a dumb idea, or why are you acting like that? What are you going to do? How are you going to manage you? Because we are going to be triggered in little ways and in big ways. And people cut us off like we don't matter, right? People get mad when you feel rejected because you took my space. People get weird. They go goofy, right? If you don't convey value to me. And yet broken people and struggling people and distracted people, there's 100 reasons why people don't convey value to you. It's not simple. I'm only concerned about your half, that something will happen and then you'll feel unworthy, triggered, like you don't have much worth or value, and that you could be rejected. And this is really critical, because if you think about one of the previous discussions we had is we want to be loved. We want to be seen and value and loved and interact. We're so relational, and relationships fill us and relationships damage us, right? And we're always trying to run that God heart that he gave us. It's full of love and gratitude and hope and vision. You know, in the middle of pain and chaos, we still want to run that God heart that we have. So that's sort of that little incident prompted this podcast. Because I think God was prompting me to, hey, why don't you remind yourself, what do you do when people don't respond well to you? if they don't seem to like you or ignore you or say you don't have much value, because people that are listening to us, they get that at work. They get that at the store. They get that at home. You know, they get left in isolation. So these are random thoughts, okay? You understand there's no order to any of these thoughts. We just are slamming down right now. Jonathan's rolling over there. He's making his list.
It's going to be interesting.
So some are very simple and some are more sophisticated. It doesn't matter. It's just we have to be able to do something to hold ourselves. So the very simplest thing that pops in my head is Jesus loves me. It's okay if you don't love me. Jesus loves me.
Now, I do have a question, and this is part of just my analytical brain that's always trying to think about this. This actually probably speaks into my greatest fear because, and by the way, just I think it's important that I just state what my greatest fear is. It's kind of a tandem. It's the idea that you're not enough, and what that actually, how that translates to me is that you won't like me.
And you won't like me,
So, like, I feel like my greatest fear is I just don't measure up. I'm not enough. And if you got in, you'd be like, I don't want to be around you. I don't like you. You know, that's my greatest fear.
Okay, so now I have to say mine, and you can pick it up again. So since you're being transparent here, so I don't think I'm good enough, and you'll probably think I'm not smart or don't know what I'm talking about. I'll look stupid, and then you want to be my friend.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are our fears.
So my question, and you'll see how this probably plays into my fear, because I want to know what the rules are around this so that you'll like me.
That is so good.
Because when I first read this, 50 things to do when your core fear gets triggered, I think I initially thought of it the way you're thinking of it. Like, hey, what are positive, healthy things to do when your core fear gets triggered? But I'm also wondering, do you want me to state also, but what do I do in actuality when my core fear is triggered?
No, I don't. Okay. We're not going to go into a lot.
We're going towards solution.
Solution. This is only solution, because there are people out there that don't know you can do 10 things to manage yourself better.
Well, and in some ways, what you're going to see as I, you know, frantically try to make my list here is that some of the things that I'll say, this is what I want to do, you could see that just the very opposite would be the thing that I might actually do. So for instance.
And you say you go wherever you need and just say enough. But remember, we got to get through 50.
Well,
so you take as much time, but you got 25. So.
But here's what I was going to say is, so for me, sometimes these are just little action items. So like, for instance, the first thing I wrote down was, what do I do when my core fear gets triggered? Slow down.
Good. Slow down. Just start moving
slow. So you could see that, what do I actually do a lot of times? I don't slow down. I go get in a hurry. I try to,
No, that's good, because this is where we want to go. Even now we're training our brains. Jonathan and I are training our brains by making this list and saying it. We're all in training. You're in training. I'm in training. We're training our brains to work with our godlike heart that's designed for love. But our brains do stupid things sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I slow down. That's all you need to say. And I'll play off that slow, slow, slow. See, that's beautiful. Just go slow right now, because this is dangerous, right? So I was saying, think, Jesus loves me, but sing the song. Jesus loves me, this I know. Now, what's going to happen? My head now, my fear response is up, but my head is going to say this. And I can't do two things. You can't really do two things. Hold great thoughts, deep thoughts, and right? So seeing Jesus loves me is one of mine. And Jonathan says, slow, 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 go slow, go slow. Danger, danger, slow. Okay. So I'm going to go to my third one. And mine is hold. You've heard me say this before.
Oh, yeah.
Hold right here. Hold. Hold your mouth. Hold your thoughts. Hold. And I love what you just said earlier about spaciousness, you know. Hold in this space. Hold.
Okay, so by the way, listeners, this is almost like you're getting an inside peek into a little mini workshop here.
There you go.
In fact, what I would say is, if you're able to right now,
yes.
I mean, you know, these are podcasts, so you know, they're not live. You can pause it. Go get your own piece of paper.
There you
go. Go get something, because we don't have a problem if you want to just, you know, plagiarize our list that we're creating.
Absolutely.
Because honestly, the two that you've just said, I thought, well, I'm not going to write them on my list, but I would do that. Because I don't want to just be redundant and just copy everything that you've done.
Yeah,
but
I'm writing what you're saying on the side too, so I can remember your ideas.
So another thing that I would say, it kind of goes with slow down, but the next one I would say is just take a breath, like physically breathe. Mm. I think sometimes what I've noticed is physiologically when my fear, core fear gets triggered, it's like my breathing gets shallow, my heart rate goes up, you know, I sweat. So sometimes just going, I just need to take a breath.
And there are some guys that are teaching like four deep breaths, right? Just hold this by breathe deep. Breathe in, hold. And there's a what is it, 4, 7, 8? If you go look up deep breathing, it's a whole science, right? Breathe in for 4, hold for 7, breathe out for 8. Mm-hmm. Breathing. Get your body, because your nervous system is going off. But if you just do some deep breathing, either 3 or 4 deep breaths, it means I'm anchoring myself before I respond. I'm not letting my mind run away with fear. It's like I'm sitting here and holding. So my next one is grace to you. Grace to me. And remember, you have to repeat. You have to repeat. It's not one thing and it's gone. You have to sort of embellish this little thought. So grace to you and grace to me. And grace means I'm forgiven, and so you can be forgiven. And grace, grace, grace. I just have to repeat grace, because that's where I want to stand right now when I got fired.
Mm-hmm. Another one that I have here is to say, either out loud or in my head, I'm triggered. You know? I think sometimes, it's funny, I think sometimes we so want to go to like some deep spiritual solution.
Right.
It's like, can I just state the obvious? Like, I am feeling triggered right now. And I can't tell you how many times, like, if I can bring that to my conscious mind, it sort of reframes everything. Because how many times do we get triggered and we're already 1,000 miles down the rabbit hole in terms of trying to bring balance, or trying to impress somebody, or trying to make them feel better, or trying to, and it's like, wait a second, I need to state, I'm triggered right now.
Oh, that's too good. And you know why I laugh so loud? Read my number 4.
I'm triggered.
It says exactly the same. I'm being triggered. I'm triggered. Oh, my goodness. My whole biology is responding. I'm feeling anxious and nervous. I'm being triggered right now. I'm being triggered. I'm triggered. That's beautiful, because they give you another place to go, those words, right? Am I going to play to my rejection fear, or am I going to just say, I'm being triggered right now. Mm-hmm. I'm just being triggered. Humanity has triggered me. So, okay, you said it and I said it. So I'm going to go to another one. So I'm writing it down here. I think, and some comedian came up with the idea of broken pots. We're all broken pots. And so I say to myself, oh, one broken pot is telling the other broken pot they're not worth much because they're broken. You know, one broken humanity, piece of humanity, is telling another broken, you know, you're kind of broken. You know, you have problems. You're not that good.
Imagine how much calm that would bring into the world of social media if everybody thought that. You know, you think about the vitriol and all the just stuff that gets spewed against each other. There's a lot of triggering going on social media, I think, of people's core fears. If you think about it, I mean, not to get too far down this you know, rabbit trail, but how much is social media actually trying to present the self you want seen that is absolutely going to hide your core fear, right?
Yes.
I mean, everybody looks happy and amazing and smart and, you know, beautiful and all that on social media, and it's like, anyway, my next one is, you know, you taught me this little mantra, or I almost make it into a little bit of a song.
Yeah.
Years ago, my God is enough. Mm. My wife is enough. I have enough. Mm. I'm content. Mm. And so just kind of repeating that over in my mind, this idea, because if you think about it, what is my core fear saying? You're not enough.
Yes, yes.
And if anybody saw all of your brokenness and all of your weakness and all of your pitifulness behind the mask, they'd go, I don't like you.
Yeah.
And to just be reminded, you know what? Everything that I actually have in life, tangible and intangible, is more than enough. Like, God is enough. My wife is enough. I have enough, and I'm content. And so just that reminder of deep contentment can be a really positive response to my core fear of it getting triggered.
That's good. So I say, I'm so loved. I am so loved. I am so loved. Because if you know who God is and the price he paid, if you don't like me that much, do I crumble? Or do I remind myself, I am so loved. I am so loved. I am so loved. I am so loved. And just repeating that to remind myself I've been redeemed, right? I've been esteemed and valued and called by name and chosen. I am so loved.
So another one that I would have here is this. Elaine likes me. My wife likes me.
If she hasn't
proven by now,
over
the 25 years that we've been together and all the major valleys and hills and things that we've been through together, I mean, I just need to say that Elaine likes me. And it's like, is that enough for me? I mean, come on, you know?
Oh, that's powerful. I am liked. Elaine likes me.
And I state it in that way specifically because for one thing, for me at least, I feel like sometimes we so use the word love that we don't understand its meaning. So for me to bring this back to almost like a friendship statement really actually has more power for me because when I say, you know, my wife likes me, that to me is a different way. I mean, in some ways you kind of, you know, maybe you've heard it said before. It's like, oh, if you're a family member, you have to love them, right? Because you're a family member.
Okay.
But this idea of to like somebody means I want to be in your presence and, you know, I enjoy you. And so for me, when my core fear gets triggered, I'm thinking, and sometimes I'll even try to think of specific instances over the 27 years that we've known each other how has Elaine expressed her like of me? You know,
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. Because now we're building that reserve or that resource place when the old program triggers. We're building a reserve, a pond of great things that we can step into. So one is, I'm sorry you're in pain. Wow, you're in such pain. You're rude or you're short or you don't have time. Man, I'm sorry you're in such pain. You're in pain. You're in pain. You're in pain, right? That keeps me from going to, it's me, it's me, it's me. But you're not smiling. You're all tense. You're all locked up. It's like, man, I'm sorry you're in pain. I'm sorry you're in pain. I'm sorry in your pain. It's about you.
So my next one is just going through Psalm 139 and remembering that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows all of my thoughts before I even think one of them. I'm constantly on his mind. More than the sand of the seashore are his thoughts. Just being reminded of that, it's kind of like if I think I'm not enough and I wouldn't be liked, to then get the perspective of the creator who made me saying, you know what? I can't think about you enough. You're constantly on my mind all day long. My affection and my attention is toward you always. Then I think, well, man, okay, maybe my thinking is wrong, not his. So just being reminded of that.
Yeah, and I think of Jesus on the cross. I thought he suffered a lot for me. You know, he suffered for me. It's okay if I take a little suffering. Suffering doesn't kill me, you know. He sacrificed, he suffered, he gave, he went first, right? I just think of the sacrifice for me.
And that's actually one of mine too. Because my core fear is about value, and worth, right? I'm not enough. And to just look to the cross and say, well, what did God say I was worth to him? And he said, the life of my only son. So therefore, looking to the cross, it's a reminder that, oh my goodness, from God's perspective, I was worth loving that much. I was worth that sacrifice. And so it really speaks into the value question. Mm-hmm.
So I have, my next one is run to Abba. Run to Abba. I could call him Father, right? Run to my Heavenly Father. But I wanted to be intimate with me and him. And I was in Jerusalem once, and I heard a boy say, Abba, Abba. He was holding his father's hand. He said, Abba. Mm. I thought, oh my goodness. That's it. I'm the boy with my Heavenly Father. And so if somebody wants to mess with me and mess me up and my brain wants to go back into the old stuff that lives in my head, I'm going to run to Abba. Mm. Just go to Abba. Say, Abba, it's hard. And just run to Abba and say whatever you need to say.
That's good. Another one I have here that's really simple is just smile.
Hmm.
You know, I've had a few on here that I'm realizing now are physical reactions. In other words, I want to make a physical move.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to take a breath or even just smiling. It's amazing how when my, you know, the core fear of not enough, if that gets triggered, I'm not smiling.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm getting pensive or I'm getting even depressed or I'm going into a really kind of dark place.
Yeah.
And so sometimes just smiling, it's like it reminds me, hey, you know what? There's good things in life. There's things to be joyful about.
It's almost like come out to my face, exactly. Come out to my eyes, come out of.
We used to have a former worship pastor at our church that he says, you need to tell your face what your mouth is singing. You know, because we're talking about joy to the world or something like that, and everybody's got a somber face. He's like, tell your face what you're singing, you know?
That is good. So I have speak it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you said I'm triggered, but I'm just backing up to speak out whatever's going on. Speak it out. Oh, I'm feeling stressed. Oh, what is that? Oh, what did they say? Oh, speak it out. Don't go in your head. Because what happens is the body stress triggers, and then the old program wants to run, right? First, you get a body sensation. Then you get an old program, and we're trying to break that connection between the two of those things. And so when your body goes, if you smile, you understand this is a disconnect. We're not running the old program. Or in my case, if I say, somebody's mad. Look, what's going on here? Wait a minute. I just start talking. I start speaking out where I am so I don't trigger into the old program.
Another one I have here is ask questions. So because a lot of times, you know what I've found is my fear can be triggered based on a misunderstanding. So, you know, take, for instance, your run-in with the dog lady, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like your brother said, there could have been 1,000 other things going on with that. Maybe you, I don't know if there's a question that you could have asked there. So for me, sometimes it's like, can I really assess the situation properly? Because, I mean, so many times, I mean, our fears will get triggered because either there was a misunderstanding of what somebody said or what somebody did, or, you know, we're misinterpreting things sometimes.
Right, and missing information. You're saying just stop and
just
learn.
Just ask questions, learn about this person, what's going on in their day.
My brother told me 100 reasons. She's deaf.
Yeah.
She can't hear. She doesn't speak English. And, hey, I'm talking to the dog and smiling, you know. You can't look up and smile. And, you know, anyway, we had 100. I said, shut up to my brother. Shut up. I don't want to hear another reason why it triggered me, okay?
Yeah.
Anyway. So my next one was rest, rest, rest. I just repeat the word rest, 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 rest. I want to hold my rest. I need to be at rest. I'm better at rest. Hold your rest. Rest is good. Being at rest is smart. Rest, rest. I just keep repeating that.
Another one I have here is in the same way that earlier I said, I want to state the obvious. I'm triggered, right?
Yeah.
I also want to state my need. Maybe what's going on here is I feel like, you know what, man, I need affirmation right now. I need to just feel accepted or belonging, you know, to state that to myself or depending on who I'm with, maybe even to just state it to them.
That's great.
Brings it out in the open.
That's good. Because that puts you in a much better place to know yourself and be at peace with yourself when you state your need versus why are you doing that? You. It's like, no, let me run this system well. So let's see what else I want to say here. One of the things I say is I'm flooding. It's all over me, and I'm drowning. I'm flooding. Because just that thought tells me where I am for the moment. I'm flooding in pain. I'm flooding with anxiety. I'm flooding right now. Breathe. Now, what do I want to do next? Because I've identified it.
So I feel like I need to go into you know, rapid pace here because we're
yeah, we're not going to make it. Let's just
but here's
get
the thing.
Straight. It's okay.
I still have 4 or 5 here. So
good for you.
Okay. I'm a good student here, Stephen. So I've got a couple here that I think could maybe even go together. So because they're related to scripture. So for me, like Philippians 4:6-7, you know, be anxious for nothing but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request before God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
So just quote a verse.
Just quoting that verse, especially about anxiety and what am I doing to really bring that before God and resting in that guarding presence of God's peace, but also maybe even just the Lord's Prayer. Right?
Yes.
So just having certain scriptures to recite, to just
great.
Say, I want to ground myself again in truth, in God's word, and be reminded that, man, rooted in Him, man, I have all that I need. I'm enough.
And the founding fathers used to call that praying the
praying
rounds.
Praying the rounds, yeah.
And our Father who art in heaven. I forgot that one. I love that. That is good. So the other one I do is, you're a mess and I'm a mess and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're a mess and you are a mess and I'm a mess and that's okay.
Yeah.
Just to remind myself, we're sloppy, broken humanity.
Couple of broken pots, right?
Yeah.
I've got another one. You had kind of mentioned this, I think, earlier, but, singing a song, that's another thing where just it's a physiological thing. It's also, I think it redirects the mind. It sort of calms the heart. So I think that's one, too. And also, obviously in our ministry, man, what's so core to what we believe and what we teach is grace. And just being able to say, hey, grace abounds. So the reason I say that is, let's say I don't respond well to my core fear. And let's just be honest.
Yeah.
That's 50-50 in my life now in terms of whether I'm going to respond well to my core fear or not. And yet just being able to say, you know what, no matter how I've responded to this core fear, Grace abounds. Like, we have a God who has steadfast love and mercy and kindness towards our brokenness.
That's good. I hate rejection.
Yeah.
I hate rejection. That's just saying, I hate rejection. I never liked rejection. Have you ever?
No.
I hate rejection. Just saying that brings it to the forefront of our minds again. And then the next thing happens. God is so good. The next thing happens. Then the next thing. And that's the goal. We're trying to hit something to start the system in a new direction. Right? Because I don't just repeat that and then go to bed after saying it 2,400 times. I go, I hate rejection. Then I say the next thing, then the next thing I know, I'm way down here in a much better place.
Mm-hmm. So I've got a couple more. One is another physical thing is go for a walk. And for me, that specifically means go for a walk out in nature. Get out to a quiet place.
Beautiful place.
Another thing, I'm realizing I have a lot of physical things on here. I have always been a whistler.
Okay.
And so for me, whistling is kind of a calming activity for me. The staff actually around here jokes that they say, we don't even need a door chime for when you come in because you're always whistling. So whistling is something. And then you made me think of this when you talk about hate rejection and thinking about the next thing, right?
Yeah.
And that is just to remind myself of the hope of heaven.
Mm.
Like, we have a hope that all of the brokenness that we're experiencing now, all of the triggers, all of those things, there will be full restoration of the perfect kingdom. And there will no longer be, there is coming a time where there are no more triggers of core fears because all of our hopes will be realized in Jesus.
Amen.
And so, just being reminded of that, I think, is a good way to respond.
So this is going to be my last one. Then I want to put a challenge at the end, okay? So I say this, you can't have my joy.
Mm.
You can't have my joy. Whatever you're doing, you cannot have my joy. You can't take my joy. You can't have my joy. I've been walking in joy, and you come along, and you're a mess, but you cannot have my joy. You can't have my joy, right? That's my starting place. You just can't. I'm holding joy. I'm walking in joy, peace, rest, and joy. And I'm, right now, you cannot have my joy.
Let me share one more, and then I want your closing thought. Because my other one was to remind myself of the golden rule. Because I think when a core fear gets triggered, who is on my mind? Me. It's all about my fear. It's all about, and I'm not saying you ignore the fear, but for me, it's saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So whatever I'm feeling right now, how would I want to be treated? And can I offer that to that person? Whether that's a person that triggered me or a situation or whatever else. You know what I mean? So just being reminded that I want to treat others the way that I would want to be treated. So not allowing being triggered to give me license to be a jerk or to be rude or to be unkind or anything like that.
Good. So we did what we could, and we didn't do it perfectly, but to the glory of God.
Mostly to 50.
And so my challenge would be, what if somebody out there has a really good idea and we triggered them? Could we invite them to respond to us with their great idea? And could we even have a contest, like we'll give a book or something, I don't know, but the best idea that just knocks you out of your chair.
Yeah.
Right? Don't mail back everything we said, but God has made you unique and gifted you uniquely. And if you have this great idea that you do that would help Jonathan and I, and that we could share too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll probably make it even one of our on social media on Thursdays. We usually do like a what's working post so that we can get people to comment, and I'll make this the what's working post. But also,
okay,
if you had something that you just wanted to send to us, you can send it to mypoint@puresexradio.com, so you can email it to us that way.
Okay, good. We want to hear, what do you do? Because your idea might transform us.
This has been a group workshop.
Yeah, there you go. So there you go.
We're growing together, and we'd love to hear from you. So, we do hope that this has been helpful, and we hope a lot of you got out a piece of paper and started even just writing down your own responses to what your core fears are. If you want to keep exploring that together and would like encouragement and support along the way, please reach out to us. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
Thank you, and God bless.